D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. It is NHL trade deadline day. The NHL trade deadline is 2 p.m. Central. So right as our show goes off the air, GMs around the league will have to put their phones down. Barry Trotz is expected to join Jared Stillman on Stillman & Company at 3 o'clock after the NHL trade deadline. We will bring you any and all updates throughout the program, of course, as it relates to the Nashville Predators. But if there are any other big moves in the NHL, we will bring them to you. I do want to start with this quickly. It is absolutely a seller's market. Case in point, Anthony Beauvillier. Remember Anthony Beauvillier? Last season, the Predators traded a fifth-round pick to the Blackhawks. A fifth-round pick to the Blackhawks at the deadline for Anthony Beauvillier. Anthony Beauvillier just went from the Penguins to the Capitals for a second-round pick. It is absolutely a seller's market, so it would be in Barry Trotz's best interest to take advantage of that. But I want to start today, gentlemen, on Barry Trotz. This is an important day for Barry Trotz. There will be other important days for Barry Trotz in the coming months, but today is an important day for Barry Trotz. The NHL trade deadline is in roughly 3 hours. He's already made a ton of moves this season. Yesterday, when we were at Bridgestone Arena, I looked up the Predators' opening night lineup all the way back in October at home against the Dallas Stars. There were 7 players in the starting lineup that night that are no longer on this team.
It's the most in the league.
Gus Nyquist, Tommy Novak.
Most changes since opening night of any team in the league. We put that on our broadcast last night, as a matter of fact.
Gus Nyquist, Tommy Novak, Philip Tomasino, Dante Fabro, Alex Carrier, Luke Shen, and Scott Wedgwood. Because remember, Scott Wedgwood started in place of an injured UC Saros. So it's an important day for Barry Trotz. And this is the central question that I have for all of you, as well as for Willie and Derek. 615-737-1025. Call us, text us. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. How much faith do you have in Barry Trotz to steer the Predators back in the right direction? Because for a lot of Predators fans, that faith has been shaken this season. The major free agent signings the Predators made on July 1st that were celebrated across the league have not worked out so far. Steven Stamkos, for instance, is on pace. Well, he's averaging, I should say. He's averaging 0.29 goals per game this season, which would be tied for the worst of his career. Brady Shea has struggled mightily. Jonathan Marchessault has been inconsistent. We've talked a ton about UC Saros. He has had an uncharacteristically poor season right before an 8-year contract that Barry Trotz gave him starts. We spent a lot of time, a lot of oxygen talking about UC Saros. So this season has not gone well for the Predators. And as I said, the faith in Barry Trotz for a lot of Predators fans has been shaken. But he had a really interesting quote yesterday, Willie, in a story with Alex Daugherty in the Tennessean. Alex Daugherty caught up with Barry Trotz to recap the trade they made with the Penguins the other day. Tommy Novak and Luke Shen for Michael Bunting in a draft pick. And this was the quote from Trotz. "The plan is the plan, but the plan is in pen, and the path is in pencil." That stuck out to me. So today is the first day where Barry Trotz can start the process of getting this team back on track. My question for all of you, and I'll throw it to Willie and Derek as well, how much faith do you have in Barry Trotz to steer this ship back in the right direction?
Well, I mean, I've known Barry Trotz since he got hired. I was at the press conference in 1997 when he got hired by the Predators. I think it was 1997. I got a lot of faith in Barry Trotz. I think it's easy in hindsight to go back and say, wow, that one didn't work, and this hasn't worked out, and that guy hasn't panned out. But there's not a whole lot I question with the decision-making at the time. And we discussed this a lot yesterday. I think sometimes, you know, just things don't go right for you. We'll see how and if they can rebound next year. I think that is really what the goal is. And I think when he says what's in pen, I'm just going by what he has said week in and week out pretty consistently. They aim to bounce back and be a good team next year. The only trade that he explained what he did in trading Alex Carrier for Justin Barron. That's just the one that I think has been, if I had to rank the moves that I just think maybe I could second guess a little bit more, that would be the one right now. And maybe Barron will be a late bloomer and become a good player, and they've got him really cheap through next year, and he's going to get a chance to play. That's the beauty of being out of it. You get a chance to sort of try guys out and see if anything sticks, and people can play their way in, play their way out. But that's the one that I think has burned them. You can list a lot of things that have – it'd be a long list of things that have not worked out. Does that mean you lose faith in the guy at the top? I don't think so. But what has happened is he's put himself in a position where there are really important decisions to be made today and then going forward. And I think the biggest one, as you set the table, Adam, with the trade market the way it is do you make a big move for a guy like Ryan O'Reilly, who I think could get you a lot, just based on what we're seeing? You saw what Brock Nelson got last night for the Islanders. They got a haul back for him. You just mentioned people are throwing around second-round picks for role players, and that's another thing to consider. But if you could get a package of guys for Ryan O'Reilly, that's when you have to pause and say, okay, my plan is in pen, but can I still have the pen if I don't have Ryan O'Reilly next year? To me, that's probably the number one thing he's got to decide today.
We do have a lot of reaction on our text line before we get to Derek. Actually, you go first, Derek, then I'll get to the reaction.
Yeah, I see it like this, because you and I, Adam, talked briefly before the show. While I was doing more of the talking, you asked the central question, I did more of the talking. And this is how I see it in regards to Barry Trotz. This is probably will end up being one of the most critical points in his early tenure as a GM. It wasn't last year. I think last year he did what he needed to do. And he bought himself some time, because he went on every week, he was on the station telling the fan base, this is where we're at. But even with that, now that you've accumulated all this talent, you can't move this talent. It's hard to move this talent, you know, because guys are on long-term deals. So you got to find a way to make this work as a GM. And this is why I believe this is going to be an essential season headed into next season. So it's going to be essential to off-season as we head into it. Because he has to figure out, one, is this the coach that is going to lead my franchise moving forward? He has to figure that out. And maybe the last portion of this season helps out. It didn't help Hines, but it may help out Coach Bruno. And then after that, he has to find out, how do I get these guys on these long-term contracts to have a better season? Who do I bring on this team to help those guys? How do we mesh as a team? You cannot go 3 years in a row without making the playoffs. You can't do it. As a young GM, as much as we love Barry around here, believe me, they will turn on them, and they will turn on them quick. You can't go three seasons without making the playoffs. So to me, headed into this offseason, it's going to be imperative, just like it is with the Titans, as I said, it's going to be imperative that the fan base see things that are tangible, and then when they start off the season, they better not start off the season the way they did this season.
One quick update. A player we've talked a lot about as someone maybe the Predators should look at. Dylan Cousins, the young center out of Buffalo, is reportedly being traded to Ottawa. So you can scratch Dylan Cousins off the list. That according to Elliot Friedman, who of course joined our show yesterday.
And Elliot said yesterday when I asked him about Cousins, is Buffalo wanted a player back and not futures for Dylan Cousins. And it does appear that Ottawa is going to trade back Josh Norris, who is a very talented center, but he has had a couple of significant shoulder surgeries, and I think that's all, and he has had a lot of trouble staying on the ice. And so I think that was that was what Buffalo decided to take back, which is very risky. Not Norris is a really talented player. But that is an interesting deal to me. And it's coupled by the fact that there were some rumors that Ottawa was interested in Ryan O'Reilly. Ottawa is going all in. They have to make the playoffs. They haven't made the playoffs since 2017. They feel like they've got to make it. They're not there yet. So they wanted an upgraded center. They go with the younger guy, but apparently they talk pretty heavily about trying to make a deal for O'Reilly. I wonder where Norris's name was in that discussion.
So, Derek, you mentioned the contractual situation that the Predators find themselves in. Steven Stamkos has a no-movement clause in all 4 years of his contract. Jonathan Marchessault has a modified no-trade clause in all 5 years of his contract, a 15-team no-trade list, according to Puckpedia. Brady Shea has a modified no-trade clause in all 7 years of his contract. Again, a 15-team no-trade list, according to Puckpedia. Philip Forsberg has a full no-movement clause until 2028. Roman Josi has a full no-movement clause until 2027. UC Saros, when his new contract starts, has a full no-movement clause until 2031. So Barry Trotz has boxed himself in on those veteran players. Now, of course, we know he has 3 first-round draft picks this upcoming draft. He can use all 3 of them to restock the cupboard, so to speak. He could also use them to acquire a young NHL-ready player. There's a lot he can do with that. But we're getting a ton of reaction on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's see. Let's go through it. They're coming in fast and furious. Stephanie on our text line says, I love Trotz and have faith in his vision, but that will be shaken if he does not take a serious look at the coaching situation at this point. Mike in Lebanon, Trotz has made mistakes, but I still have faith in him to learn from it and turn it around. I admire him and his willingness to face the questions, unlike the Titans, who I have zero faith in. Alex from Nashville says he has zero faith in Barry Trotz. He has given me no reason to believe in him. Brunette hasn't either. All of these players having a down year is a coaching problem. Chip from Mount Juliet, we all love Barry, but not sure exactly what his plan is. And we talked about the Tommy Novak trade the other day. And to me, the headline of that trade isn't the fact that Tommy Novak and Luke Shen got traded. I know that they acquired cap space and all of that. The headline to me of that trade was 1 year after Barry Trotz signed Tommy Novak, thinking, hoping, expecting that Tommy Novak could be the answer to this team's issues at second line center. Barry Trotz pulled the plug on that experiment. I commend Barry Trotz for pulling the plug on that experiment. And I'm not... The contract wasn't prohibitive, right? It was 3 years with a $3.5 million cap hit. But at the same time, Barry Trotz still believed Tommy Novak could do that. It was a miscalculation on Barry Trotz's part. So I commend him for rectifying the mistake, but he still thought that Tommy Novak could do that. And I think the fact that the Predators thought Tommy Novak could do that played a part in how this season started.
I think it's I would characterize it like this, a little differently than you, Adam. I don't think they ever thought for sure he would be the second line center. I think when considering the options available, they thought he might be able to be the second line center. And they couldn't figure out a better formula Do you think that is a misstatement? They signed him to $3.5 million. That's not second-line center money. That means I'm not really sure he could be a second-line center. And I think they tried to find a better solution at number one or number two center and just couldn't find it. Do you think that's inaccurate? So I think it was a calculated move to sign Novak. And I think it's fair to say they probably could have gotten more in a trade for Novak last year at the deadline than they got this year at the deadline. But that happens sometimes. Signing him to a contract at 3.5 to me is not a bad contract. It's hedging. It's basically saying, let's keep him. I can use him. Maybe he's the solution at second line center. And right now, I can't find anything that's a better option. That would be how I would say it. And what have we found out about Tommy Novak in a year? He's gone through a playoff series, and he got buried. He got dominated. So that was the first trouble sign. They allowed him to play a lot at second-line center this year, and he didn't take the reins at all. He appears to even have been scarred from that playoff series some, in my estimation, and he's been concussed twice this year. So I think you've learned a little bit more about him, and I think they have assessed that he's never going to be the second-line center, so let's scrap that plan and take the cap hit, take the cap dollars back, take a player that maybe you know a little bit more about in Bunting, in what you're going to get, at least for a year. It's a less commitment, and you gain cap dollars, and you rid yourself of Luke Shen's contract. To me, that's the situation. But I think it's a mischaracterization to say that, oh, he's going to be our second-line center. I don't think they ever thought for sure that that was going to be the case. That was their hope, but they were hedging on that.
This was Trotz's quote on Tommy Novak to Alex Daugherty of the Tennessean. Quote, when Novak was a fourth-line league minimum guy and scoring while getting some sheltered minutes, that fit him just fine. When you move up the lineup, it's harder to find your space and be productive. If you want to move up the lineup and get paid more, there's more responsibility.
That's what they suspected all along, but they wanted to keep him because they were going to make the playoffs. And without him, they would be hard-pressed to replace what he was giving them last year. And at 3.5, I think you could live with it in the hopes that he could take it to the other level. But I think it's in a year they determined he could not take it to the next level.
615-737-1025. So the central question today, it is NHL trade deadline day. The NHL trade deadline is at 2 p.m. Central. Barry Trotz is expected to join Jared Stillman at 3 o'clock. This is the central question at 615-737-1025. How much faith do you have in Barry Trotz to steer the Predators back in the right direction? Call us, text us, 615-737-1025. We'll take your reaction next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, the game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025-1063, the game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. It's NHL trade deadline day. A big deal in the NHL just became official between the Buffalo Sabres and Ottawa Senators. The Ottawa Senators received Dylan Cousins, a 24-year-old center, signed for several more years. We've talked about him a lot, Willie, as someone maybe the Predators could have an eye on to fix the center position. But Dylan Cousins off to Buffalo. Nick Kiprios just tweeted that he's hearing the Dallas Stars and Carolina Hurricanes have made significant strides on a trade for Mikko Rantanen.
I really believe, I don't know this to be true, I just believe that all of that scuttlebutt last night, there's no going back now. I think Rantanen will end up in Dallas. Do you agree?
Yes.
I just think there's just no way. Like, Dallas has too many advantages. They've got the no state tax. They've got other Finnish stars on the team. I think it's got to be. They're going to contend. I think that will get done. Of course, that had everybody staying up past midnight last night, past 1 o'clock Eastern time when that went down.
So, Predators fans, if you thought you were rid of Mikko Rantanen in the Central Division, it lasted about six weeks.
Yeah. And think about the mano-a-mano possibility in the Central Division, okay? You might have, in the first round, possibly, unless John Hines and the Wild, who are battered and injured and just trying to tread water right now, if they can hold off Colorado, then you avoid this. But I think Colorado, having a now acquired Brock Nelson, will play Dallas in the first round. Think about that matchup. Somebody's going home, and both of those teams have gone all in on huge trades. Rantanen against the team he started the season with? Think about the drama in that series.
That would be great. We have a lot of reaction on our text line to the question I have posed to all of you. 615-737-1025. This is an important day for Barry Trotz. Again, Barry Trotz will join Jared at 3 o'clock today after the deadline. The deadline is 2 o'clock. How much faith do you have in Barry Trotz to steer the Predators back in the right direction? Caleb on our text line says, with the window and age of the core players, you have to be aggressive with adding some real pieces who are productive. The Predators, I looked this up yesterday. They started the season, their opening night roster. Not the players who were on the ice, but you know, when right before the season starts, and here are the players who made the opening night roster. They were the second oldest team in the league by average. The only team older was the Edmonton Oilers. Because when you add a ton of older players in free agency, that's going to knock up your average age. And I remember, guys, this summer, I sat in this seat. I may have been sitting in your seat, Willie. I can't remember exactly which seat I was literally sitting in. But I said, this team needs to make it to at least the Western Conference Final. And I remember the two of you talked about it. And you were like, did Adam mean this coming season or within the next few years? And I know I said this season because they're an older roster. You want to take advantage of these players while they're still within their primes. So it is important for the Predators to be aggressive and try to find moves. If Barry Trotz is against a full-on rebuild, you've boxed yourself in with some of these contracts you gave out in free agency. You've got to be aggressive if you're not planning on tearing it down.
Yeah, okay. So I'm going to continue along with what Barry Trotz has been public about, is they want the bounce back for next year because of what you said. They've got an aging core that if you're not trying to win, then when are you going to try to win?
Let me interject for 1 second. According to Elliot Freeman, Mikko Rantanen and the Dallas Stars are closing in on an extension, 8 years, $12 million per season.
Ooh. Right. So they can offer the eighth year, and they have no state tax. We got into this a lot with Philip Forsberg. Remember a couple years ago, we just went back and forth on that all summer. And I kept saying, the eighth year. And that's a big advantage for Dallas.
Plus, I can't wait to see what Carolina is getting in return for this. That'll be interesting.
That will be a big question.
But I didn't mean to interrupt. Please.
No,
continue.
But do you have faith? You know, we can talk about this. That's an existential question about the Titans, the Predators, right? And everybody can call in. No, I don't have faith. Or yes, I have faith. I think on this show we should get down to the central question, and that is how.
Sure.
Do you try to bounce back? Because Barry Trotz has said it. Look, I've got veterans who have won. I've also got a deep pool of prospects that you're high on. Now, that hasn't – both of those things have not progressed. We know it's been a disaster, right, to be where they are right now. It's blown up. But does that mean it's broken for good, or once you start fresh next year, you'll feel better about it? Fedor Svechkov, Luke Evangelista – Zach LaRue, they've all had varying degrees of ups and downs. None of them have popped. Could next year be the year? We don't know. They've got three first-round picks. They've got other prospects in the pool that they think will be a part of the plan coming up. So they do not have a depleted farm system like Toronto does, like Colorado does, like Edmonton does, and we can go down the list. So that is important to keep in mind. So when he went and gambled with the aging roster, he knew he had a full farm system stocked with picks and prospects. So keep that in mind. Number two, it's the riddle of the center. To me, it's all about the center right now, at least today, as they try to move forward. Do you want Michael McCarron back on your roster next year for $900,000. He's playing great right now. I think if you went to scout him, Colton Sissons and Ryan O'Reilly the last week and say, do we want these guys? I think all of the scouts' reports back to their GMs would say, man, these three guys are playing at the top of their games right now. They could help our team. But they're all under contract for Barry Trotz next year. So what's the riddle? How do you answer the riddle? Are you better keeping those guys? Or are you trading centers on a team where you're still looking to upgrade that number one or number two center spot? Well, to me, that's a tough call.
I mean, but you can't do any of that until you figure out what you're going to do with your coach. Because, again,
well, they're not going to decide that until after the season.
No, but what I'm saying is that no matter what you do now, if you're not going to keep the coach, then a lot of this stuff may be mute. Because what if the next coach comes in and these guys don't mesh with what he's – even though you try to get the best coach for whatever system you're going to run on the personnel.
I think that's another riddle.
Yeah, so it's like – which one do I know I can't do the coach first. Well, you can, because you can fire him now anytime you want to, but Barry's not going to do that. How am I going to set my team up with either this coach or the next coach? Because regardless of who you try to bring in or who you try to ship out, there are a few core guys that will be on this team no matter what. So now I got to figure out which coach best fit these guys that I have on my roster right now, the guys that are going to be here for the long haul.
Tony is in Clarksville on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tony, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, DVD, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Have we lost faith in Barry? It's shaky. Here's the problem. He has not done well this year. I think we can all agree on that. However, he does have prospects, he's got all the picks, and so we can't fully determine it. However, he's on that shaky ground. That being said, like you guys had also alluded to, this is a coaching thing, and if you look back at it, when Brunette was an associate in Florida, they were good. When he was in Florida as the head coach, they were good, but they were also good when he was gone. They won a cup without him. Same thing with Jersey. When he was an associate there, they were good. I think this is a reflection on Bruno, and I think the next coach should come from Milwaukee, because that's going to be the smoothest transition for the young kids coming through.
Thanks for the call, Tony. I just want to interject this. I have a lot of respect for Carl Taylor, who is the head coach of the Milwaukee Admirals. If he hasn't been called up to the big leagues yet here, it's probably not going to happen. I know a lot of Predators fans like Carl Taylor, and I remember he came up here when, I believe it was during the COVID season, right? And the Predators coaching staff was...
Yep, he went 2-0.
The Predators coaching staff was wiped out by the coronavirus, and he showed that he can do it. I don't think that's going to happen. I think if they make a coaching change, and this is another big conversation, which mm-hmm. we don't have to have right now, but if they make a coaching change and Barry Trotz is committed to these older players, and remember, he said to Jared a couple of weeks ago that he met with these older players, these core players, after the Four Nations face-off break and said, hey, if you're in, great. If not, let me know, and I'll try to move you. And Barry Trotz made it sound like none of those core players wanted out. So if he is committed to that group and that group is committed to him, they probably need a veteran coach. So that's another discussion for another day. But I'm trying to find, there was one text and I can't find it, so I'm not going to waste your time rifling through all of these texts. But there was a texter who said that they are giving Barry Trotz until August. That way we can see what happens today. We can see what happens over the summer with the NHL draft. What kind of draft pick do the Predators have? What do they do with the three draft picks they do have in the first round? What do they do in free agency? What do they do with the coaching situation? That texter said if things don't look better by that time, perhaps their faith will be more shaken. But
It looked pretty good last August, too. Like that's the thing. You can have a plan, and it can look really good until you go out and play. So it can go a lot of different ways. I take the Winnipeg Jets. I think you can wind the clock back to a team, if I recall, Adam, help me out here. Did they not, either they barely made the playoffs. I think they lost in the first round. They got in on the last spot 2 years ago and got whipped in the first round. And then they had all of these things facing them. Is Connor Hellebuyck going to stay? He wants out. Mark Scheifele wants out. Rick Bonus, they should fire Rick Bonus. They had a lot of issues, and it looked like the future was not bright at all. Last year, they had over 100 points. Yeah, they lost in that 2-3, right? That's why I always hesitate, Adam, when you're saying, well, your goal has, you've got to win two rounds. Either Colorado or Dallas is probably going to be out in the first round this year. When you get that 2-3, you got heavyweights. That first round is brutal. But my point is, look where Winnipeg is now with essentially the same guys, right? They've had huge bounce backs from Scheifele and Nikolaj Ehlers and guys who have been there for a long, long time. That 2 years ago, you looked at the future and you said, ooh, the Jets might be fading out. They got to blow it up. They got to make some moves. They basically stuck to their guns. So you can bounce back when you have a bad year, is my point. Now, this is a really bad year for the Predators. Elliot, so this is a bigger bounce.
Elliot Friedman reporting before we go to break. I hope Luke Shen did not get too fond of Pittsburgh, because according to Elliot Friedman, Luke Shen is being traded from Pittsburgh to Winnipeg. So yeah. I'm interested to see
what... And I'm guessing they retained some salary...
Which the Predators could not do because they retained salary on Gus Nyquist. So Luke Shen was in Pittsburgh for 2 days. He may not even have left Nashville. They might have said, hey, hang tight. We'll let you know. Luke Shen, according to Elliot Friedman, being traded from the Penguins to the Jets. Curious to see what that return is. 615-737.
It's going to be more than you think.
Yes.
Luke Shen, who was the guy.
We have the return.
Okay.
According to Darren Drager of TSN, a second round pick and a fourth round pick.
Second and a fourth.
A second and a fourth for Luke Shen.
So that's pretty nice maneuvering of the retention spot, for those that don't follow closely, gets you way, way more in the return. That is what. And that's why the Predators got the second for Nyquist. And now as we move forward here, I'm wondering if they could have held out a little bit more, because that retention spot is gold right now.
615-737-1025 will continue your reaction on NHL Trade Deadline Day. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063 The Game. D-Mace Vingan and Donick, 1025-1063 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. The return, the reported return, again, right before break, it was reported that the Penguins, who just acquired Luke Shen from the Predators, he's off to Winnipeg. According to Elliot Friedman, the return, a second-round pick and a fourth-round pick. What we don't know yet is if salary is being retained on this deal. I have not seen that yet. That doesn't mean it's not going to happen. But Luke Shen from the Penguins to the Jets for a second-round pick and a fourth-round pick. How would we feel if that's the return on Luke Shen with no salary retained?
With no salary retained, it's not a good look on the Predators. I would bet that there's some salary retained there. Pittsburgh, their camp was immediately speculating that they would take Shen's contract, use the retention spot that Nashville did not have, and get more for him. So that's a pretty good piece of business there by Pittsburgh. The retention spot is big. In fact, I think you, in retrospect, could say that based on what everybody else is getting, that Barry Trotz, in hindsight, probably could have held out for more on his one retention spot that he got. He got a second for Nyquist, but based on what everybody else is getting for complimentary forwards, did he have to use the retention spot to get the second? I think in hindsight, he's got to be saying, maybe I think I could have gotten more there.
Jose is on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Jose, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hey, thanks, guys. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens today. And I do have one thing to ask, and that is in regards to somebody like Dylan Cousins, could the Preds make a push for him.
Well, to interrupt you, Jose, Dylan Cousins has already been traded today. He's been traded from Buffalo to Ottawa, so Dylan Cousins is off the board. I'm sorry to tell you that.
Man.
Oh, no worries.
Thanks for the call. Thanks for the call, Jose.
The riddle of the center.
Oh, man. All right. One texter says, if there's no salary retained on the Luke Shen deal, then I have zero faith in Barry, and he needs to be gone. He isn't cut out for this job. One texter says Trotz has single-handedly destroyed the franchise. All right, pump the brakes there.
Wow.
I'm not sure I feel that same way. Chip from Mount Juliet says, exactly, Trotz pulled the trigger too early on Shen. We'll see. Again, we don't know yet if salary is being retained or not, but I haven't seen it yet.
I think we're all surprised at the market right now for the sellers. I knew it would be a seller market, but it is shocking how much the sellers are getting. Would you agree, Adam?
Yes.
So I think maybe that was the misread of jumping in early with Nyquist. We were all, I know you said you were shocked it was a second.
I was.
I wasn't shocked with the retention, but now based on the market, we're seeing even more deals that are similar and even more lucrative for the sellers right now. And so that's interesting. But I find it ironic. Luke Shen, let's be honest, how many of the fans always kind of said, why did they get Luke Shen? What are they doing with Luke Shen? Luke Shen always has had value that I have tried to point out that some people, he absolutely got crushed on a lot of the Preds' Twitter stuff. Agreed?
Yes.
And like, I'd take anything for Luke Shen. How are you going to get rid of that contract? Well, you see, he's a pretty sought-after guy in the right role.
David Pagnotta of the fourth period is reporting that the Toronto Maple Leafs are getting Scott Laughton.
That's the center. That's another center that's been out there.
So we'll see what the return on that is, and we can compare that to what the Predators could get for Ryan O'Reilly.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
There were a few reports yesterday linking the New Jersey Devils to Ryan O'Reilly. The New Jersey Devils lost Jack Hughes. I want to say it was a shoulder injury. He is done for the season. That is a gigantic blow for the New Jersey Devils. But then the following reports were, they're still buying. Just because Jack Hughes is out doesn't mean they're changing their plan. They have an obvious need at center. So I saw Ryan O'Reilly linked to New Jersey quite a bit yesterday. So, again, we'll see.
Yeah. Now, New Jersey, as we talked about a lot last year in terms of UC Saros, and the Devils were looking for a goalie at the time, they have a lot of assets to trade. So I do think if you were to look at potential trade partners, that would be one where they could give you a package. Again, the decision is the riddle. As soon as you trade Ryan O'Reilly, you're going to be looking for another Ryan O'Reilly, which I don't think you're going to get in return. Not that you won't get a lot of assets. You might get a better defense partner in the future for Roman Josi or Brady Shea, for example. They've got a lot of good defense prospects. They're deep there. They've got a lot of pretty talented wingers. I don't know that there's a young center that would be the heir apparent to Ryan O'Reilly that Barry Trotz might have his eye on. If there is, I don't think I've seen it. But that is, I think, a really tough decision for Barry Trotz and his group is trading Ryan O'Reilly. That might alter your plan in pen of being a bounce-back team next year.
To me, that is the move. That if the Predators make that move, that is Barry Trotz saying, we're taking a big step back.
We got to take a step back to take two steps forward.
Right. If they trade Ryan O'Reilly before 2 o'clock, that to me is an acknowledgement that they are taking a step back and they are going to have to change that path in pencil.
Now that, you know, they free up some cap space. There's free agency this year. But it's just hard to find guys like Ryan O'Reilly who do everything that he does. It's not goals, assists, points. It's face-offs. It's penalty kill. It's power play. It's intangibles. Checking the other team's top players. There are very few guys that can do that you can replace Ryan O'Reilly with.
Derek brought up an interesting question when it comes to Andrew Brunette. So Barry Trotz has said multiple times to Jared, and again, Barry Trotz will join Jared at 3 o'clock today, that he is going to see this thing through with Andrew Brunette. So even if he doesn't make a decision on Andrew Brunette, as he's thinking about what he's doing today, doesn't he have to keep that in the back of his mind, though, if he's looking to acquire certain players, if it's going to be Andrew Burnett again next season, if it's not going to be Andrew Burnett next season, finding players that either fit with Andrew Burnett, or if it's not going to be Andrew Burnett, fit with another coach. I mean, how much do you have to keep that in the back of your mind when you're Barry Trotz today as you're making moves?
I think you have to because, again, the guys that they have under contract, they can't go anywhere. Well, let's just say they're not going anywhere, at least for the next foreseeable future. So whatever decision that you're trying to make for the team, I think first and foremost, it's the head coach. Are we going to move forward with the head coach and, you know, truly define what we're doing out there on ice, or are we going to go in another direction? And if you're going to go in another direction, you got to make sure. I mean, you got to make sure, because all of this stuff is going to start happening pretty fast. The offseason and everything. The minute you get into the offseason, you're out of it very quickly. So whatever decision, they're going to have to – it's going to have to be well thought out as we speak now. And when they enter that last season like they did last year, there has to be a plan on – where we, how we are moving forward, either with the coach or without the coach, because essentially that may dictate the players that we may go get. Because Andrew Burnett may want this player. You go out and get that player. And then all of a sudden you switch a coach, and then you bring another coach in, and that player that you got doesn't fit what he wants to do. So I think the head coaching situation needs to be the first thing that they figure out as they head into the offseason.
I think it's a fair, yeah, as they head into the offseason, I agree. And Adam's point is, I think, for today, too, by 2 o'clock, you have to decide, yeah, if I'm acquiring a player, how does that fit in my vision,
exactly,
for how he fits, how the team wants to play? Do they want to dive back into, let's make the team quicker, younger, faster to play Brunette's system, or – with the players that they know are going to be back, or somebody they acquired today, does he envision playing a little differently than they started off this year? But here is, to me, I continue to throw this central question at her. Here's another trade that just went down. Brandon Tanev, who sat out last night because they were going to trade him for the Kraken. He is a gritty
energy player,
a winger, not a center. Got a second round pick for him to go back to the Jets, where he has been a good player there before. So a gritty bottom six guy who is not a center got a second round pick. So let me ask you this question, Adam. And I don't know, have we seen the return for Lawton yet?
We have not, but it is being reported by multiple people that Scott Lawton is being traded to the Maple Leafs.
Could you get a first round pick for Colton Sissons?
It's a
based on
question.
How wingers are going for second round picks,
mm-hmm.
Could you get a first for Sissons?
That's a good question.
I don't think it's out of the question.
We will keep
and
an eye on
maybe
that.
Even Michael McCarron. Just centers are hard to find, as we know, and it's a seller's market. To me, this is the real-time question now. We can figure out the existential stuff and the coaching stuff and the summer stuff a lot later, but they have massive decisions to make today.
615-737-1025. We will continue to bring you updates about the Predators and the NHL trade deadline. 2 p.m. Central, the NHL trade deadline. We will continue to bring you updates. We will switch gears here to the Titans coming up next. Chad Brinker, in an interview with the Tennessean, has his eyes on a certain team in terms of how he hopes to go about free agency this year. And by the way, NFL free agency starts next week, if I'm not mistaken. We'll get into that next. 615-737-1025. Tune in later today to 1021 The Ville for Vanderbilt Baseball as the Commodores host Xavier. Pre-game begins at 4:15 and first pitch is at 4:30. Coverage also available on the 1021 The Ville app and at 1021theville.com.